Lesson 8, investing in real estate. Whether you're considering buying investment property today or wondering what to do with an investment that is now underwater, it's important to understand how very different the rules and regulations are for income property compared to a home you live in as your primary residence. This covers a different area called what you need to know before you buy investment property. With home values down 30 to 50% or more, I know that many of you think now it's a great time to invest in real estate. I have to say, my experience is that the people who are so quick to see the upside often don't properly prepare for the potential downside. Owning an investment property is a risky investment. There's no guarantee that the property will rise in value or rise in time for you to flip or refinance as you had hoped. Nor is there a guarantee that you will always have responsible tenants. Please do not consider buying unless you have carefully prepared for all the what ifs. You must have an 8-month personal emergency fund plus a 1-year fund to cover the carrying costs on your rental property. If you are going to invest in a rental property, the personal emergency fund is not to be part of your plan. You must have a separate fund that can cover up to 1 year's worth of mortgage, tax, insurance, and maintenance costs of your property. The biggest mistake I see people make is that they wrongly assume that they will always be able to rent out their property, that rental rates will always rise, and that their tenants will treat their property with great care. That is what I would call wishful thinking, and it can lead you down the road of ruin. You must have an ample investment property emergency fund to fall back on. Real estate must be part of a diversified investment portfolio. I've had too many conversations with people who told me that they lost everything in real estate when the bubble burst. They insist that they're well diversified because they own several properties in different neighborhoods. That is not my idea of diversification. That is owning a lot of the same type of asset. Investing in real estate must be done after you have taken care of your other investment goals. If you are not contributing to your retirement funds, you have no business investing in real estate. And if you do own investment property, that is never a reason to stop or slow down your retirement savings. Understand that you will pay more for financing if you want to take out a mortgage to invest in real estate. Be prepared for an entirely different set of lending rules compared to buying a home for your personal use. Lenders will often insist that your down payment for a real estate income property be at least 30% of the purchase price, and the mortgage rate will be also higher than the rates charged for your home you live in. Another point, there's a little help if you fall into financial trouble. All the various federal programs we have in place today to help are only for mortgages you need for primary residence. Investment properties are not eligible for assistance. That makes perfect sense. Aid should be to help families stay in their homes, not to come to rescue investors and speculators. What to do with investment property that is underwater? For those of you who already own investment property that is currently worth less than your outstanding balance, I want you to carefully consider your options. If you are just 10% or so underwater and that the rental income is still enough to cover your carrying cost, then I would not advise you to sell right now, even if your lender agrees to forgive an unpaid mortgage balance. It is important to understand that the IRS will not forgive that shortfall. The valuable tax break that is in place through 2012 that exempts homeowners from owning income tax on the difference between their mortgage balance and their sale price does not apply to income properties. If you sell an income property at a loss, you will still be handed a 1099 tax form that reports the difference between the mortgage balance and the sale price's income that was paid to you. So let's say you have a $250,000 mortgage and your property sells for $175,000. Even if the lender agrees not to come after you for the $75,000, that $75,000 will be reported as taxable income to the IRS. And let's not forget that as a seller, you will have to pay the agent's fee, typical 6% of the sale price, and other closing costs. That just adds to your loss at this point. If you're more deeply underwater or the gap between the current rent of the property can generate and your mortgage is too big a monthly cost, and I ask you to read my advice from earlier in the chapter on how to navigate your way through a short sale or foreclosure. This is just a brief excerpt from the book called The Money Class. This was chapter 4 called Home. And the book is written by Susie Orman, award-winning, best-selling author. I suggest that anybody who's just heard what I have spoken, go out and get this book. It's called Susie Orman, Learn to Create Your New American Dream, The Money Class. Thank you. You're funny.